In 2016, Italy was shook by one of the biggest earthquakes it had seen, actually the biggest in nearly 40 years. And the earthquake was felt mostly north of Rome. And one of the biggest cities that was hit was Norcia. It felt the biggest tremors. Now, Norcia is a very significant place in Italy, especially for its civilization and its culture. Norcia is the place where St. Benedict and his twin sister, St. Scholastica, were born. And so there in Norcia, there was this 13th century basilica built over their birthplace that when that earthquake came, the basilica collapsed and it was completely ruined. Now, the cathedral of Norcia was also damaged and many other structures. Now, on the surface, we could see, okay, this old building, this church, it was destroyed. It no longer exists in the way that it did before. But if we looked a little deeper, a little more symbolically, I think we could see something even more that might be happening. See, St. Benedict, you might remember, he's a significant figure, not just in Italy, but in the entire of Europe. He was the father of Western monasticism, and he's been seen as one of the most influential figures in European civilization and culture. So in the collapse of this basilica built over his birthplace, you could see symbolically the collapse of civilizations and cultures that happen in our own day and that have happened throughout history. Now, I bet the Italians, after that earthquake, they were probably pretty shook with fear. Is there going to be another earthquake? Are there going to be aftershocks? Are more buildings going to come down? And each of us have probably felt fear like that before, too. If we've ever experienced some kind of tragedy, you might, in the days following, the weeks, the months, live in a certain amount of fear. Maybe even 15 years ago when the 35W bridge collapsed, every time you passed over a bridge after those days, you might have a little bit more fear than before the collapse. And I imagine some of this was probably happening in the Italians as well. Is another building going to come down when I'm inside? Is there going to be some other tragedy, some other disaster? Now, these things that stir our fear, they're things to be noticed. They're things that we want to pay attention to. Even though there's fear all throughout the world. There's fear of war. We still have wars going on even today. There's fear of famine and plagues and disasters. There's fear in our own country. Probably this week there was a lot of fear as people were glued to the election news, as still some results kind of hang in the balance. These things that cause our fear, we actually don't choose them in a certain sense. It's not like I choose, okay, I'm going to be afraid of this. But it does reveal something that I might be relying upon. Am I relying upon the integrity of a building? Am I relying upon the integrity of a nation? Am I relying on the integrity and security of a particular leader or our environment or whatever it is? Our fears, I think, can reveal something to us. And I think our readings today and what Jesus is pointing out, it reveals something. He talks specifically about the collapse of the temple. That's where our gospel today starts in Luke. And he does this as people are marveling at it. Wow, look how great this is. And Jesus says, yeah, it's going to fall down one day. There won't be left another stone upon a stone. And then when they hear this, you can hear almost the tremor in their voice. Teacher, when will this happen? When's this temple going to fall? What do you mean? Now, this reading, along with the reading from the prophet Malachi, it can be seen as some apocalyptic reading. Some apocalyptic reading. Now, people ask me sometimes, Father, Do you think this is it? Do you think this is the end of the world? I don't know why they think I know. They think that I have some connection with the big guy. He's sharing some intel with me. But our apocalyptic readings, they ought to be paid attention to. Now, apocalypse, in its root, that word, it actually doesn't mean end of the world. That's what we always ascribe to it. Oh, apocalypse, that's it. That's the end. It's not actually what the word at its root means. At its root, apocalypse, it means taking away the veil. Taking away the veil, revealing something, demonstrating something. Something that might be disclosed is now being revealed. And I think that might be what Jesus is trying to do today. He's trying to reveal something to us. And if we let him reveal it, I think there can actually be comfort in his words. You know, those who were hearing them in the gospel, I think there might have been fear. But if we see what Jesus is revealing, I think rather we might see comfort. We might take comfort in what he's revealing. Because one by one, he's revealing something that we might be tempted to rely upon that's not worth relying on. That's what he's showing us. First, he talks about the temple, this religious structure, and the way of worship. This ultimately is not some ultimate end in itself. Our religious structures, our buildings, even the ways that we worship here on earth, a lot of that's going to fade away. Buildings will collapse like that basilica, like the temple. And so this isn't ultimately something that I can stake my security on. It's not worth it. If I do, it's going to elicit that fear in me. Next, he talks about kings and rulers, people that say, look at me, I'm the one, follow me. I'm some messianic figure, I'm some political leader. I've got the way, if you just follow me. Jesus says, don't follow them. Don't put your stake in them. Psalm 146, we could listen to that. It says, do not put trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. They're not worth it. Next, he looks at war and peace, some kind of reliance on national and institutional security. He said there's always going to be those wars, those insurrections that come. Everything's going to come undone. Every civilization collapses. It's interesting to note, when the temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD, when literally stone was ripped out of stone, all the spoils were taken from the temple, it was ruined. The Romans took all those spoils and they built the Colosseum. If you go to Rome, you'll see the Colosseum today in ruins. Because 400 years after the sack of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple, then the Germanic barbarians came into Rome, and that civilization collapsed, as has every civilization that followed it. None of these places of security in an institutional or a national level are ultimately worth our time and our reliance. Then he talks about natural disasters, some kind of environmental security. There's going to be earthquakes, famines, plagues, hurricanes, tornadoes, blizzards. It's always going to happen. Now, the environment's a good thing, but I can't stake my life on it. This world, once it didn't exist, it came into existence, and it's wearing out. There's a clock on our planet that one day will wear out. And so if I put my complete trust in this world and a natural security, I'm going to be left broken. Lastly, he talks about relationships, some kind of relational security. And he tells us, look, you're going to be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, friends. Our relationships are good, but they're not God. They're not something ultimately that will leave me a place where I can have lasting and true peace. So one by one, Jesus shows us none of these things are worth completely relying upon. Because when they start to shake, and they will, that fear rises in my heart. And I'm left in a place where I'm not sure where I stand. Now, none of these things are bad in themselves. Leaders are good. Nations are good for the most part. The environment is good. All these things, they're good. And we certainly, let's work for justice. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's try to build a good society and take care of our planet. Let's build beautiful churches and buildings. But we can't stake everything on that security. That's what Jesus is revealing today. There's only one worth staking our security, our complete reliance upon, and it's Him. He's the only one who's sure. God is the only one that lasts. If we're looking for some kind of utopia, this side of eternity, we'll always be left empty. It's not possible to create some perfect society. Things will always be shaken. And so Jesus is inviting us to then a greater place of refuge, a greater place of peace. And it actually involves a different kind of fear. You know, there's that fear that's bad that reveals my reliance upon something that's shaky. But then the prophet Malachi today, the good news gets the last word. He talks about a different kind of fear that we can face terrible events and still have hope. That's what the prophet reveals today. He says here at the end of this reading, "For you who fear my name, there will arise the Son of Justice with its healing rays." Who should we fear? Only the one who lasts. Only the one who is God. Only the one who is eternal. Now, this fear is different. It's not an anxious fear. It's not a fear of terror. It's a fear of love. It's a fear of awe and reverence, recognizing you're God, I'm not. And if I want to be sure and secure and steady, I need to rely on you, not my own life, not anything in this world, but only on you. That's what fear of the Lord looks like. Fear of the Lord is rooted in a relationship of love, not a relationship of terror, of submission. And so Jesus invites us to that place of fear of Him today, reliance upon Him alone. Now, next week, we celebrate the solemnity of Christ the King of the universe, the one who lasts, the one who will reign. But to get us ready for that feast day, I encourage us today and all throughout this week, let's continue to ask the Lord to reveal to us maybe things I'm relying upon that are striking fear in my heart. What are those things that ultimately I can't place my security in? And each day as we pray the Lord's Prayer, we'll pray it here in just a bit in Mass, we pray those words, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And so let's mean it. Let's pray those words. Lord, we want your kingdom. We want your kingship. We want your security. And anything I'm trusting in, anything I'm relying upon that isn't you, I pray that you would release my attachment to it. I pray that you would free me, Lord, so that I would make that decision today that I'll only rely on you. I'll only fear your name.